Both of my kids work in the medical field. My daughter is an ER nurse, and my son works in a psychiatric hospital, and is now in paramedic school to be a paramedic. And one of the things that's in common of all of that is protocols. In the medical field, they have protocols for everything. If you show up at the emergency room with a certain complaint, there's a protocol for how we're going to deal with that. If you're injured in a certain way, there's a protocol for it. If you behave in a certain way, there's a protocol for that. If you make a threat to the psychiatric hospital, there's a protocol for that. And the protocols take effect even before these things happen. When a patient is discharged, there's a protocol for prepping the room. You clean the room, you make the bed, you restock the supplies. Make sure that when the next patient comes, the room is as clean as they can reasonably make it. You're not going to find out, oh, we used the last intubation tray, can't help you, or no bandages left, or whatever. They take care of all that stuff. So that when the moment comes, they can respond effectively in that moment. They don't have to figure out from scratch, well, gee, what should I do about this? No, they know this is the checklist. We're going to check these blood levels. We're going to check the breathing. We're going to palpate the abdomen. We're going to do whatever it is that we're going to do. And they know because they have the list so that they can cover all the basics. They can make sure all the basic stuff is checked, that they're ready to deal with whatever comes. We face lots of temptations in life, but we don't have protocols for temptation, do we? How many of us really stop and think about how am I going to deal with the temptations that will come? Because we know they'll come. That is absolutely assured. There will be trials and temptations in life. But we don't often stop and think about how can we be prepared? How can we be ready? How can we know the checklist? Oh, I should watch this response in myself. I should watch that. I should see what I feel about this. I think we can actually learn a lot from Jesus' experience of temptation in the wilderness about how we can be more intentional, more wise, more prepared in how we deal with temptation. First thing is to remember, times of trial often follow great spiritual moments. Temptation comes when we're not looking for it. Temptation comes to us when we feel like everything's gone okay, and we're not expecting a problem. Jesus had a wonderful moment, the baptism in the River Jordan, and everybody's happy to see him. And the voice comes from the cloud of the sky that says, this is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. And then, bam, the wilderness. He's left alone, vulnerable, and so forth. The time of the wilderness comes on him immediately. But you know what? It's necessary. Jesus needed it. You and I needed it. Many of you know that I work out, go to the gym pretty consistently. One of the things I've learned about that is that you need the pattern of work, hard working out, and rest. You can't just go work out all the time. That's actually really destructive. You just rest all the time, that's pretty destructive too. What you need is the pattern, the cycle, the back and forth. Because, you know, in physical training, when you're actually working, when you're lifting the weights, doing whatever it is, you're actually tearing the muscles down. And then, by the grace of God, in His design of our bodies, they build back up stronger than they were before during the rest period. And so if you want to get stronger over time, you work and you rest. You work and you rest. And much the same is true in our Christian lives. We need periods of trial. We need periods of challenge. We need times that make us feel a little bit torn down. And then God rebuilds us stronger than we were. So don't be surprised when those times of temptation come. And sometimes they come when we're feeling good about things. Now, I'm not suggesting we go out and seek those challenges and seek those hard times. But it changes the way we face them. If instead of thinking, as we often do, why, Lord, did this happen to me? Or why is God abandoning me? Or why is God punishing me? We think, Lord, you can make me stronger through this trial. You know, there's no promise whatsoever that the Christian is going to have a nice, easy, or pleasant life. That promise simply is not there in the Bible. But what is promised is that God will bring us through whatever he places before us, and he will use it in the end to accomplish his purpose, to make us the people that he intends for us to be. And so if we can see those temptations, those trials, as a time of preparation, a time of learning, a time of forming, it feels better. So when things are looking good, beware. Be forewarned. It won't stay that way. And don't be shocked. Don't be dismayed. Don't worry that God has abandoned you or doesn't love you or doesn't see what's going on in your life. Second thing, and this is kind of the opposite of what I just said, temptation often comes when we're worn out from our trials. The tempter is not stupid. And we are vulnerable when we're not paying attention, when we're caught up in something else, but we're also vulnerable when we're worn out and hungry and weak and tired, and it's been a tough road. You know when the main temptations came to Jesus in the wilderness? At the end. Satan didn't come with the temptations right at the beginning. He waited 39 days in, and then he brought the temptations. When you are weak, seek the rest. Find that rest. Seek the help and protection of others. Seek that opportunity to rebuild that strength that you need. Temptation often comes when you're isolated. The worst temptations to deal with are those that happen when we're alone. Those temptations that come in the middle of the night when there's nobody around. In those moments of darkness when we're lonely and isolated and not connected. You know, the truth is, we do a lot better when we know somebody else is watching. Right? We're better people when we know somebody sees what we're doing. It is not good for the man to be alone. That was the first observation God made about us. It is not good to be alone. We need to be with others. And this is an aside, but let me just note, for those of you who live alone, and I know there are quite a few who do, it is extra important that you be very diligent about maintaining relationships, about remaining connected with people. Make that effort. Get out. Call people. Do whatever it is you have to do to maintain that web of connection with people around you. It is very spiritually dangerous to be alone and to be isolated. So one of the very important ways that we prepare for those temptations that we know are going to come is to build that network of relationships. To build that network of support. So when the hard time comes, we know. And we're not sitting there wondering, we're going to call up a prophet about this. We know. Because we have those friends. And we try to be that kind of friend for others so that they can call us and we have that back and forth. You know, sometimes I'm referred to as the pastor of the church. That doesn't mean I'm everybody's pastor. You guys are each other's pastors. You guys are called to know each other, to care for each other, to love each other. It's not that there's a congregation of people who all have one pastor named me. But you are each to be one another's pastors. And in your lives, build that web of relationships. Be deliberate about it. Make the effort. You know, having friends, it takes some effort. You have to try. You have to set time aside. You have to invite them over. You have to pick up the phone. You have to initiate those conversations. They don't just happen by accident. Be deliberate about it. Build that web of relationships so that when the hard times come, you know who to turn to. And they're ready for you to turn to them. And when others have hard times, you can be that person that they turn to, that they come to. And together, you can face those temptations and those trials much more effectively. Set the pattern now while things are okay, so that when they're not, the relationships are there. Another thing about temptations to remember. Temptations are often to things that are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. Most of us sitting in this room are not going to feel a temptation to pick up a gun and go rob a bank. It's just not something that most of us are going to be tempted seriously to do, or to go beat somebody up or murder somebody. We're not going to be tempted to those sorts of things. The temptations we face are much more subtle than that. You remember the first temptation that Satan placed before Jesus? Turn those stones into bread. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with Jesus being hungry after fasting for 40 days. And there's nothing wrong with wanting some bread when you've been fasting. Perfectly fine, perfectly normal. God intends for us to have bread. The temptation, the danger, is to take the shortcut, to take the easy way, to avoid the difficult path that God has laid out for us, to take the quick and easy route. The ends do not justify the need for Christians. Because the path from here to that fulfillment of need is just as much a part of God's design for us and the fulfillment of that need. How we get that bread matters very much in our spiritual health and in our ability to deal with temptations before God. Because you know what? The person who is tempted to go pick up a gun and go rob a bank didn't start with robbing a bank. They started by snitching a little bread that wasn't theirs, or by snitching a piece of gum on the playground. It started with the little things, and it grows from there. And so remember that even though the goal may be fine, the path must also be godly to get there. The ends do not justify the means for Christians. This is the last one I have for us this morning. Do not face temptation with gritted teeth. This is not about your willpower, because let me promise you, if you try to face temptation with gritted teeth, you will fail. You might get through today. Maybe you'll even get through tomorrow. But long term, you will fail. No, instead, we face temptation with God. We face temptation with the Word of God. Do you remember how Jesus responded to the temptations? When Satan said to him, "Turn these stones into bread," Jesus didn't grit his teeth and say, "No, I'm expectation not with willpower, but with God the Father. And that's where we turn. So one of our most important preparations, if not the most important preparation, for facing temptations is our time in the Scriptures, our time in reading the Word of God. That's how Jesus did it. Do we expect we're going to find a better method than what Jesus did? Invest yourself now. Now, this doesn't mean you have to sit down and have, you know, 20 new scripture memory verses every week or anything like that. It doesn't have to be complicated. It just means to make it a regular part of the routine of your life to set aside some time each and every day to read a little bit of the scripture. You may not understand it all. That's okay. Don't fret about it. If you're concerned, come and talk to me. I'll love to talk to you about stuff like that. I wish that's all I did, was talk to people about the scriptures. It'd be a great life for me. So don't ever hesitate to come and talk to me if there's something you're concerned about. But don't worry if you don't understand everything. Don't worry if it doesn't all make sense to you. Just let it pour over you. And the wondrous thing of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is that he will then bring to your recollection what you need in those moments. Now, the Holy Spirit can only work with what you've already poured in, right? So you need to invest the time and energy now to make sure that's there. There are lots of devotional guides. We have some available here. The Daily Bread is available at the back of the church. There's other ones online. You can go to any Christian bookstore and find lots and lots of devotional guides. I don't really care which one you use. Do something. Even if you don't even use one, just pick up your Bible and read a little bit for a while. That's fine too. But that is critical preparation. It's part of our protocol that God has given us to deal with the temptations that we know will come. Temptations will come. Those times of trial will come. Don't be discouraged. Don't feel oppressed. God has not abandoned you. But remember that God can use this to make you even more indigent the person that he intends for you to be. Temptations come when we're worn out, when we're tired, when we're exhausted. Don't be surprised. I knew this was coming. I prepare. I have a protocol. You have that protocol by developing a pattern that includes others in the inner circle of your life. People to whom you can be accountable, people to whom you can turn in those moments. Don't be caught up just because the thing that you want looks good by itself. Remember the path by which we obtain it is part of God's design for us. And finally, and most importantly, invest time in the scriptures now. Don't expect that when the moment comes, you're going to grab a Bible, pop it open, and point a finger. Let the scriptures pour over you now, so that when that moment comes, you're ready. God can work through that preparation to bring you through the temptations.